Okay, good afternoon, everybody. I don't think I have to say my name. I will introduce myself, Ashim Biswas from University of Guelph. I would like to acknowledge all my co-authors, actually my colleague, Athena Cambodis. So from Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada, she really wanted to be here, but she couldn't. So I am actually giving a proxy for her. Today, I'm going to talk about potato and management zone. And Free's presentation, his last week paper showed that potato is giving 20% yield increase, at least the profitability. And then Raj's second presentation, Raj showed how EC could be used in management zone. So basically, first two presentation of this session, they gave the preview for my work. Again, going to the same path with Raj, soil EC has been used or correlated with so many different other soil properties, not only the yield, elevation, like all the different ways soil EC correlated, because one of the earlier day soil survey, we started using the soil EC or apparent electrical conductivity, not the actual electrical conductivity. And then today on side of soil electrical conductivity or apparent electrical conductivity, I want to use some of the radiometric method and how can this radiometric method could be used for delineating management zones in potato. So I'm not giving a picture of the world, just in Canada it's quite getting important because we have about a $1.12 billion industry, and mainly closer to the eastern region where these fields are. And again, the study I will show you today is actually working with the farmers in farmers field without modification anything. Whatever farmers doing, we're trying to see if we can increase the profitability. But this will be the beginning of a larger project. We started the project. This is the first 1 year or 2 year of data, but it's an ongoing project. I don't have the profitability data yet, but today I will show how, when we are delineating these management zones, how these two different sensors, one is a soil apparent electrical conductivity sensor or EC sensor, and another one is a radiometric sensor. We use dual M and GPR, ground penetrating radar. So can this method be used for delineating management zones? And when we are actually delineating management zone, how they are correlating? Is there any response to the yield? Is there a response to the soil variability? Like, is it really saying something? So that's why delineate management zone, link to the yield maps and link to the soil properties, and then see what is the value of these management zones. As I mentioned, we work with the farmers, and mainly in the eastern part of Canada. This is a New Brunswick, closer to Mainz. So you see Mainz, and there's another angle coming back. That's New Brunswick, Canada, who doesn't know. It's about 52-acre area. Four different soil types are classified. The one is to 50,000 map, soil map, done quite some time ago, about 40 years ago. And mainly the podzolic soil with a closer to the bottom portion of the field, you get a little bit of imperfectly drained, but otherwise well to moderately well drained soil, which is necessary for potato production. And this area potato production are actually associated with the McCain Potato Company. We have Florenceville site and Grand Falls site, the industry. So mainly the potatoes are going for those areas. Two different sensors, Dual-M 21S. I know quite a few times we talked about Dual-M, different people use. I'll not go through the details of that, but based on the positioning of your sensor, so you can get horizontal or perpendicular data with the four different depth going up to about 0.4 meter, 0.9 meter, 3.1 and 1.4 meter. It's a rough estimate from the surface we can get. And then we use ground penetrating radar with about 400 megahertz frequency, 30 scans per second. Just wanted to see what is the layer depth for the surface and below subsurface and to the depth to the bedrock. Because often we call, particularly in eastern Canada, erosion is so common that the soil depth have been decreasing a lot. So we're trying to see if depth to the bedrock could have an impact on the variability. So at the beginning of the experiment, we also have done diamond grid kind of system. So it's about 33 meters. We also have done in the two different sides about 71 meter grid sample, 0 to 15 and 15 to 30. And we have done quite a bit on soil. Like this red spot are actually showing where we have done the particle size, because you know that takes a lot of time. The other chemical analysis done on mostly all the samples. Then we have used dualin, which is about 375 per hectare, and GPR about 10,000 data points we have per hectare. So you can see the number of data points we're using, and use of the sensor combined to the like a traditional measurement, how much of the sampling point we can increase. And I will not go through, this is a busy slide, but just to give an like idea, it's a quite variable soil. Like in terms of the coefficient of variation, you can see about 10 to 20, 30% variations are there. With mean like a sandstone, clay, gravel particle size, then you have quite a bit of like organic, not too much of the organic matter variation, some soil moisture variation we observed with the, like when you collected the soil data, nitrogen and some of these cations variability are there, but not like an extreme level of variability. What we try to do, like as I said, we collected the point, but when we are dealing with this like a lot of point, we try to make it to a spatial map. We use geostatistics, use spherical model, and generally the ranges show deeper layer of EC is about 150 meter, whereas the shallow layer of EC giving about 50 meter depth, a very strong spatial structure, which clearly shows, you can see, quite high EC in this blue area, and it showed all four different depths. So it's quite correlated. While at the GPR, we found it's a very smaller scale variability. It's about 20 to 30 meter range maximum. So very small scale variability, which could be very difficult in terms of, like if we really think about the yield variability, which is giving me about 30 feet, the yield monitor data, so might not be a very strong one. Again, you can see those variability are like really all over the place. And then when you look at the four different years, this is actually a potato wheat rotation, 13, 14 potato are there, 15 wheat, 16 potato, 17 wheat. So we don't have the 17 data, up to 16 data we have. And you can clearly see these are the redder area, which is actually kind of a low productivity, while we have seen that this area you had the higher EC content, all the four different depth. We'll take a look, again, one of the busiest slides. This is like maximum I can put, actually. And you can see the green color. Don't look at the number. The major green color is showing that, it does have a kind of a good relationship with the first four column is your EC data, second three column is your GPR data, with your soil property, yield map, topography, and all the cations. What we try to do, rather than looking at this table, we try to look at the maps. So this is showing the EC map and potato map and all the soil particle size. And soil particle size, you have P content and soil moisture. So I will go back and forth here a little bit. Only I'll look at the here. So this is your GPR data, depth to the bedrock. That's what I'm trying to correlate. And this is your EC data. We can see higher EC, lower yield. While when you look at the depth to the bedrock, not much of a relationship we could find here. Then we use this FASMI classification, fuzzy K-means clustering, and we ended up finding, okay, it's giving two pretty good, we did not restrict how many management zone to give, so it gives us about two based on this data, total within the zone variance, and we can see how the EC values are actually varying from the different zones, all different four. So we are kind of finding out that quite a bit of variation. While the GPR data, it gave us a one for the two zones, one for the three zones, but we really didn't find much of the variation, because those 30 meter variation and the yield data, when you're looking at about 30 feet, you're combined with a 10 meter, like it's not really much showing there. What we try to do, like when you are separating this management zone, we really wanted to see if this management zone is really responding to the yield or really responding to the soil variability, sensor data to the actual soil variability. We ended up finding that EC data, which is pretty established, but we again finding a really strong difference between these two, all the yield level. That's whereas the GPR, we couldn't find anything. The same way when you looked at this clay content or soil moisture, all the different properties, we ended up finding statistically significant difference in EC data, while GPR didn't show up. Now, that's why we're trying to think about like the yield data, looking at 30 meter spatial resolution, your combined, while 30 meter of your GPR variation, where it is coming from. Now, as I said, this is an ongoing project. We try to see if this management zone, when we are actually making management zone, is it really related to yield and soil property? But the next stage is really validate this management zone. And at the first presentation, Fis mentioned a lot of monitoring going on, but less of an actually recommendation. That's what we are trying to go, which will be the nitrogen recommendation dose, or like not only the production, we are also looking at the erosion and nitrogen pollution into the downfall. But today, to conclude, Dualem shows successful, like more useful delineate zone than our GPR. Two managements are identified, lower EC, higher yield, where the higher EC, lower yield, I've shown that one. Soil EC, higher clay content, soil moisture within the lower peak content. So basically, we did have some relationship, majority of the soil properties with an EC, and this varies with the depth too. While the GPR, even with the very high frequency data, we didn't get much of the information, at least related to the what is current now. But as we put the treatment or different level of nitrogen, it might vary or not. We don't know. That data will be coming next year, because 2017-2018 is a potato again. With this, thank you very much. And of course, funding is an Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada government-funded project with my university. This is my previous university, like last year university, and INRS, another university in Quebec. Thank you very much.
Do you have time for a question or two?
Yes, please.
How to calibrate the GPR and how to calibrate
it? Would you please repeat the question?
Yes. How did I calibrate our GPR data and ground truthing? So we did collect the data. So this is actually based on kind of a manufacturer recommendation with the 400 megahertz. We try to get that one, but actual field calibration hasn't done yet. So we don't have the data for that. But this is based on the manufacturer recommendation as the setup. We try to do in other field, it's a 400 megahertz. So we try to get a little bit of shallower than going to a deeper level. But for depth to the bedrock, those are actually validated with, I don't know if you know, Varis P4000. There is another soil spectrometer. We're doing a different area to see what is the depth of the soil and like a surface layer. But again, that data set is not really there. So, yeah.
It seems like you were trying to keep the story like separate the whole time. In other words, like you're looking at one versus the other. Have you tried seeing if there's value by combining the two data sets together?
Yes, that's what I would like to ask you for tomorrow's presentation. We're calling it as a sense of fusion, not only GPR or Dualem and other thing. We have Varis data, we have ground truthing data, we have P4000 spectroscopic data and all those things. So we are trying to develop that method. Like as Chris' presentation mentioned, like when you get the large amount of data from different sensor, if we combine that, can it give us a better, or how do we actually make some recommendation based on the data set we get? So tomorrow I'm talking about management zone delineation, but in terms of fusing the sensor data.
Okay, one more question.
Yes, please.
It looks like there's some artifacts from the sampling pattern to the ground penetrating radar. I'm just wondering, what was the transect, which maybe you mentioned this, but for the GPR and for the dual EM, and what would you recommend?
We try to go about 10, sorry. So the question was looking at the pattern in GPR data as well as the Dualem data, so what could be a recommended passing interval? Is that the right way to get it?
Basically, how far apart did you drive and what would you recommend?
Yes, so what was the actually driven width? And what could be recommendation? So we drove around 9 to 10 meter. We try to set up so that at least for the Dualem, but for GPR we wanted to go to a little bit of more closer. But again, we always find we tried 5 meter, 7 meter, 12, 10 meter, 15 meter, 12 meter, all the way going there. Why we try to do it at 10 meter one, we try to correlate to the yield data and other thing. Almost all those combines are about 30 feet or 10 meter width. So we try to be consistent with that. And it gives us a pretty good variability information. Even we get whatever, as I said, we tried with the 5 meter Dualem data. It gives a lot of data, but again, not much of a difference we get. So in terms of the time, so we are mapping like a 200-acre field. So we try to go about 10 meters. That's what we tried. We found it best.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.